Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Datamatics Global Services Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pratik Jagtap from EY IR. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizan. Good evening to all the participants in the call today. Welcome to Q2 FY24 earnings call of Datamatics Global Services Limited. The results and presentations have been already mailed to you, and it is also available on the website of Datamatics. In case anyone has not received a copy of press release or presentation, please do write to us, and we will be happy to send you all. To take us through the results today and to answer your questions, we have with us top management of the company, represented by Rahul Kanodia, Vice Chairman and CEO, Sandeep Mantri, EVP and Chief Financial Officer, and Mitul Mehta, EVP and Chief Marketing Officer. Rahul will start the call with a brief overview of the quarter on business, which will be then followed by Sandeep talking on financials. We will then open the floor for question and answer session. I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call, which gives any outlook for the future of which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual reports, which you can find on our website. With that said note, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Rahul. Over to you, Rahul.
Thanks, Pratik. A very warm welcome, and thank you, everyone, for joining our call for Q2 FY24 this evening. We're glad to have you all on the call today. I will briefly discuss some of the quarterly performance highlights, while Sandeep Mantri, our CFO, will provide an update on the financials, after which we will open the floor for questions and answers. Our quarterly performance for Q2 FY24 declined by 3.7% on a sequential basis. The decline in top line was primarily due to the premature closure of a large project with a customer in our digital experiences business. This also impacted the margins of that business. However, we continue to work with that customer on multiple ongoing projects and new projects. On a Y-on-Y basis, for the quarter, our revenue grew by 9.7%. On an H1 basis, H1 of FY24, we had a robust revenue growth of about 14.6% and a notable improvement in our EBIT margins, which has risen to 14.1% from the previous year at 12.3%. Our deal pipeline increased by 99% on a year-on-year basis and 28% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. In particular, our U.S. pipeline increased by 300% over the last year. We can see that our efforts on focusing on the U.S. markets are bearing results. We are well placed in several of these deals but are witnessing slowness in decision-making, which makes it difficult for us to estimate the percentage of revenue growth in the coming quarters. Therefore, it looks unlikely that we would meet our revenue growth estimates of 14%-15% for the financial year 2024. We added 15 new customers during Q2 FY24, with many of them being in the U.S. As a part of our AI-first strategy, we are committed to strengthening our AI capabilities and continuously infusing AI across technology, operations, and experiences, and the product business. We have integrated GenAI capabilities into our intelligent automation products, consisting of TruBot, TruCap Plus, and TruBI. We have launched a range of GenAI-powered solutions, such as enterprise content mining, virtual assistants, financial data analytics, and revenue operations, and are showcasing them at some of the world's leading IT shows across the U.S. and Europe. Our TruCap product has been significantly enhanced and provides cognitive mining and enterprise content for enterprise content using GenAI. This makes the product very potent for large organizations that process high volumes of documents and a variety of unstructured enterprise content. Truecare Plus is now available on the Microsoft Azure Marketplace. This will broaden our reach to all Microsoft Azure customers worldwide. In Q2, we also introduced Finato, a drive for finance transformation in global enterprises. It is powered by AI for contracts management and will help CFOs better fulfill their KPIs. Lastly, I'm happy to share that Datamart has implemented automatic fare collection and mobile ticketing systems for India's number one Namo Bharat RapidX train for Delhi Meerut RRTS corridor by NCRTC. It was recently flagged off by our Honorable Prime Minister, Sri Narendra Modi, and it was a proud moment for all of us at Datamatics. With that, I wish you all a very happy Diwali in advance. May the Diwali bring happiness, joy and prosperity to all of you and your families. With that, I will now hand over our call to our CFO, Mr. Sandeep Mantri. Sandeep, over to you.
Thank you, Rahul. Welcome everyone and thank you for joining us in quarter 2 and H1 FY24 earning call. Let me start with financial performance of the Q2 FY24 and then I will take you through the H1 FY24 numbers as well. Our Q2 FY24 revenue stood at 376.8 crores, which is a growth of 9.7% on a yearly basis and a decline by 3.7% on a sequential basis. As Rahul highlighted, the decline in top line is primarily due to premature closure of a large project. However, we continue to engage with the customer on multiple ongoing and new projects. Our consolidated EBITDA for the quarter was at 58.9 crores, which is up 14.1% on a YOY basis. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter is at 15.6% as compared to 15% in the last year same quarter. Our consolidated EBIT for the quarter was at INR 49.6 crore, which is up 15.7% on a year-on-year basis. EBIT margin was at 13.2% as compared to 12.5% in the last year same quarter. Our quarterly PAT after NCI was at 49.3 crores, which is up 23.3% on a year-on-year basis. Tax rate for the quarter was at 16.4%. Primary reason for decrease in tax rate compared to last year quarter is the change in the profit mix of various geographical entities. Our EPS for the quarter was at INR 8.36 per share, which is higher than the last year same period, which was at INR 6.78 per share. However, lower than Q1 FY24, which was at 9.34 per share. Talking about segment-wise revenue performance, our digital operation revenue was at INR 164.6 crores, which is a growth of 15% on a YOY basis. Digital operation EBIT margin was at 18.6% and its contribution to total revenue was 44%. Digital experience revenue was at INR 58.5 crores for the quarter, which is a growth of 11.6% on a YOY basis. EBIT margin for the digital experience business was at 17.4% and contribution to total revenue was 15%. Digital technologies revenue was at INR 153.7 crore for the quarter, a growth of 4% on a YOY basis. Digital technologies EBIT margin remains at 5.7% and contribution to total revenue was 41%. We continue to maintain a healthy balance sheet. As of September 30, 2023, our cash and investment stood at INR 581 crores compared to INR 555 crores in the last quarter. Our DSO was at 63 days as of September 23 as compared to 60 days in the last quarter. In terms of geographical footprint, US remains our largest geography with 54% coming from US, followed by India at 24%. The rest of the world, including UK and Europe, was at 22%. In terms of industry, BFSI continued to remain the largest segment for us, which includes 25% of our revenue, followed by education, publishing and technology and consulting. Both segments stood at 20%, then manufacturing, infra and logistics at 13%. Non-profit or non-governmental organization remains at 10% to total revenue. Retail contributed 9% of our business and other remaining segments are 3% of our total revenue. If we talk about client concentration, very healthy, with top 5, 10 and 20 clients contributing to 24%, 36%, and 51% respectively. Coming to H1 FY24 financials, our half-year revenue was at 767.9 crores, which is a growth of 14.6% on YOY basis. Our EBITDA was at rupees 126.7 crores, which is up 27.4% as compared to last year. EBITDA margin for H1 FY24 improved at 16.5%. Our EBIT was at 108.2 crores, a growth of 31.6% on YOY basis. And EBIT margin stood at 14.1%. Tax rate for the year was at 17.6% compared to 20.5% last year. And finally, our EPS for the full year was at 17.70 per share as compared to 14.14 per share in the last year same period, which is a growth of 25.2% on a YOY basis. These were the financial updates. With this, I will now pass on the call to operator to open the floor for questions. Wishing you and your family a very happy and prosperous Diwali. Thank you for your patience and continued interest in Data Matrix.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets for asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Harshal Sethia from AUM Fund Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
What happened exactly with the client that moved down prematurely?
No, the client has not moved out prematurely. A project got over prematurely. With the client, we continue to work. In fact, we are working on several new projects with the client. So it was a premature closure of one single project. So that's really what happened. That impacted both the revenue and the margins for the digital experiences business.
Sir, you said that we might not be able to meet the revenue guidance of 14% to 15%.
Yes.
So what was the quantum of revenues that the client contributed, and in the coming quarters, can the manpower be replaced for another project which will ramp up in the same phase or something?
Yeah, so there are other projects that are ramping up as we speak. We should have some bounce back for sure. So the client is still very much there, and we're talking about new projects. So we should ramp up hopefully towards the later part of this quarter.
Okay. So how much growth can be expected in terms of revenue?
10-12%? Yeah, so we will probably not hit that 14-15% revenue growth that we talked about. But because the decision making has become a little slower, we are not able to exactly predict, what will happen. Having said that, as I mentioned, our pipeline has grown by about 100% over the last 12 months versus on a Y-on-Y basis, and 28% on a sequential quarter basis. So pipeline is extremely robust, and therefore I'm still confident that we'll have a good year. But I'm not able to put a number on the revenue growth in terms of percentage.
Okay. Can you just quantify the pipeline that that we currently have?
I expect it's in the vicinity of about $290
million. $290. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Jawar from AJ Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question is specific to this deal withdrawn. So in the digital experiences, we are hitting a revenue of, suppose currently we are doing a 60 odd crores of revenue in a quarter.
Yeah.
So what was the deal amount for, and because with that one deal you are saying that we are withdrawing guidance of 15%, that is the first question. And the second question is regarding the digital operations and the digital tech. The digital operations, what are the steady-state margins we can attain? Because I see every time it is fluctuating. Is it because of the currency that we are seeing that margin improvement, whatever has happened, 23% to currently 18% in the digital operations? And in the digital tech, currently we are hitting a revenue of 150-odd crores. Is it the plateau or the pipeline is more situated to digital tech? And where do you see, not this year, next  1 to 3 years, how do you see this shaping up the revenue margins? Yeah, could you throw some light?
On the digital experiences front, or the digital operations, let me talk about digital operations first.
Okay.
On the digital operations, we had a very healthy Q4 of last year. And that's because we always have a Q4 spike because we do a lot of tax processing. And in Q3, we start ramping up. I'm not concerned on the margins of the digital operations, although it may look a little suppressed, but it's still very robust, and I think Q3, Q4 will be healthy. I'm not too concerned on digital operations from a margin point of view.
Okay.
To your second question on the projections of missing the 15% project target, that is not because of this one project. That is just because there's a softening of the decision-making process, and we are seeing that across the board. So it's really a combination of all of those things versus a single project driving that. So on the digital experiences front, we talked about that one project, but you know, as the customer is already engaged and we are already talking about additional projects, it was just
one
project.
What is the order value?
Hello?
What is the order value of that project?
The order value.
We can't disclose.
Yeah.
No.
That would be giving client-sensitive information, so I'm not so sure that would be very appropriate. But rest assured, I mean, if you look at the numbers, you can gauge vis-a-vis the revenue numbers that we have on in our investor deck, so we can estimate through that.
Roughly, it was some 30-40 odd crores, or it was a larger.
We cannot give those numbers because this is a client-sensitive information, and we don't want to disclose too much information about, you know.
But rest assured, I must say that the client is still there, and we're talking about additional business. In fact, we will ramp up in this quarter. It was just that one project. So there's no cause for concern on that front. And on the digital technologies as well, the pipeline in the U.S. has grown about 300%, so it's looking very, very promising. Having said that, because the decision-making is slow, therefore we are sort of not able to get a very clear picture as to what the quarter, next quarter three and quarter four will look like.
Okay. Not for this year. I'm just talking about, can you just outlay which segment you are quite bullish on from the next 1 to 3 years perspective, where you can see the scale-up can happen rapidly? For not one year.
Actually, all the three segments are looking very optimistic to us. Very specifically because we will be implementing a lot of AI in across the board. We will see that happening. So there's no one of these segments that is looking weak or anything of that kind.
Okay. And just on the order withdrawn, when did this happen? In the October or which month exactly?
It was this quarter. Therefore, you see the results in this quarter.
Yeah, it was in this quarter.
Yeah, in this quarter, month actually, I'm asking about it is the.
So these ramp downs happen steadily, right? It's not like tomorrow morning you stop. So it does squeeze down because, you know, there are several dynamics in any ramp down, particularly sensitive to employees. And there are implications on employees. So one has to. So when we transact with customers, we've got to keep that in mind. So it's through the quarter, but it's a steady phase through the quarter. Because you've got, you know.
Okay. Because it came as a shocker because it was not intimated. That's why it was a surprise. But nevertheless.
Yeah. You're right. So the premature closure does not come with a forewarning, right?
Okay. Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Grishma Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I want to know, the margins for the digital technology piece, where would they settle down for the year?
I expect the digital technology piece margin to actually improve over Q3 and Q4. Yeah, you've got right now 5.7%, last quarter 6.2. They will still be in single digits for the year, but they will move up. I think probably 7 to 8% range is a good range.
Based on what initiative?
Based on the pipeline of deals that we are closing. But as I said, because there's a softness in the decision-making process, I'm not able to gauge it, but the pipeline is extremely strong.
But this also has the metro business, right?
That is correct.
So are we, because I'm assuming there is a metro line which is going to go live.
The NCRTC in Delhi metro went live already. Kolkata will go live shortly. Mumbai is continuing. Yeah.
So with all these, then they are going.
No, when it says gone live, does not mean it's closed. It's one phase of it is gone live. The project is still continuing.
I get that, sir. But what I'm trying to understand is that now would the pricing be better compared to what we had bid initially, and therefore the margins will be better?
That is correct.
Of course, yes.
Okay. And what would be our year-end closing tax rate?
Our year-end closing tax rate will be between 20 to 21% approximately.
Okay. And what is the progress on the selling of these products in the U.S.?
Can you repeat the question?
The product business, can you highlight what is the progress?
Yeah, so progress has been actually quite good in terms of, again, a pipeline increase and some of the large logos that are potentially scaling. So we earlier quarters, we mentioned that we had closed some good logos. Now we see them scaling. So that's very promising for us, and some of them will scale quite significantly. So that's looking good. But again, right now the whole Western world is plagued by a little bit of this decision-making because of the global uncertainties. You've got this Israel-Gaza conflict, you've got the Ukraine-Russian conflict. So a lot of that is still sort of playing out in those markets. So outside of the decision-making, we don't see a slowness in the pipeline flow. The deal flow is just as robust. In fact, it's probably better.
Okay, but what is then holding back for closure if the deal flow is so strong?
So in these markets, there's some degree of uncertainty with the slowing down of their economy. And therefore, those customers are becoming a little conservative in their decision-making because they think the economy will slow down and things like that. But other than that, from a business point of view, there's nothing.
And if you could possibly enlighten, what was the reason? Why did the customer prematurely close the...
It was there. I don't know the details. It was their business situation and their business challenges. So I'm not very privy to their business challenges, but it's something to do with their business.
Okay. And it was a top 5 or a top 10 client?
Yeah, top 10 client.
Fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Sanjot, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
So my question is about generally the Q4 is the biggest quarter and Q1 is generally the smallest quarter generally in the history or the way.
You're not very clear. The line is a little unclear.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, but still a little muffled, but I can hear you.
Yeah. So my question is... My question is about Q4 is the biggest quarter and here generally Q1 we see a smallest quarter and then sequentially when the revenue goes on. So now Q2 there is it is lower because of the pre-closure. How your Q3 looks like, and Q3 and Q4, are they going to be better than Q2? That's the first question.
I do expect that. Q3 typically is a little bit soft across the industry because of the vacation period in the Western world. You have in the US Thanksgiving and Christmas, and because of that many people on leave, and therefore your billing does come down because of the quantum of amount you deliver. So Q3 does tend to be a little soft, but I don't expect that to be worse than Q2 for sure. And Q4 should again spike up, because we do have some cyclicality in our business on Q4.
Correct. And the second question is about the employee headcount. In Q2, what is the net headcount addition, or is it you added, or your number of employees reduced in Q2?
I don't have that number. To the extent that the revenue declines, employees are a little sticky business because you've got a 3-month notice period. So even though revenue may decline, you can't let go of employees, and therefore the headcount remains steady. In fact, right now as we speak, and we talked about ramping up some projects, we are in the phase of ramping up employees on some projects. So right now actually we are in the growth phase. So net, I would say that it would be flat. Our attrition was about 8.5%, which is reasonably healthy. I mean, annualized it becomes almost 17%, which is not too bad. And we've not had a net headcount reduction.
Okay. Thank you for that, and all the best for our future quarters.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Samiksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to understand the loss of customer was from which vertical, or BFSI or...
Yeah, so this is not, as I said, no, it was not a loss of a customer. It was a project where we are still growing with the customer. It was in the digital experiences space.
I understand digital experiences, but in terms of industry, BFSI, technology...
It was in the consumer space, consumer and retail.
And in terms of the industry, the BFSI space, how do you see that going ahead, given the issues with the banks in the U.S.?
So we've not seen issues in any projects with the BFSI segment, apart from the decision making, which is generally slow across the board. Outside of that, we've not seen any issues.
Right. And so lastly, coming to this, on the digital technologies piece, I understand you mentioned some, on the hyperscalers business, if you could, throw some light, how is that growing?
Yeah, so our relationship with Microsoft has increased quite a bit. In fact, we are now on the feature of the marketplace. We are engaging with them very actively. So that's going well. Our opportunities pipeline in the Salesforce area is also going well, likewise with ServiceNow. Our low-code, no-code business, particularly with some cloud products, that's going extremely well, and we're getting a very good inflow of deals. So the hyperscaler business is kicking in well, although because it was a relatively new initiative, it was small, and therefore it does not impact the numbers the way we would expect. But yes, we are getting very good traction on that front.
And the burn in the product business, would that be continuing at the same 50 crores per quarter?
Yes, not per quarter, it's per annum. Yeah, of course, we've got to adjust it a little bit for inflation and things like that, but yeah, it's about at the same rate.
Right, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back later.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Hiten Borucha from Sequin Investments. Please go ahead.
So my question is the margin. And margin decline in the margin in the digital experience is largely led to the premature deal closure. But what led to the decline in the margin in other two segments?
So in the digital technologies, there's not too much of a decline there. We continue to invest in a lot of in the AI space, in the product space. As I mentioned in my address, we've invested in enhancing TrueCapture significantly and incorporated a lot of cognitive mining into that. So digital technologies are fine. Digital operations is we've actually increased our spend on the platform, and my note does talk about us launching a platform called Finato. So we launched Finato, and of course, that consumed some spend, and therefore you see the margins a little lower.
So, can we assume this 17% blended margin is kind of bottom out, and we'll see better H2 in terms of margin, around 20%?
Yes. You will see improved margin. Also, the other thing that's happened is that we have increased our spend by design for marketing, and we've actively participated in several events in the U.S. and in Europe. And therefore, our marketing spend has gone up, and therefore you see the margins being a little more squeezed because we've substantially increased it. But that increase in marketing has resulted in better pipeline. So it is showing results, but there's a lag between your marketing spend and the deal closure. So the marketing activities that we are investing in is showing some good results because the pipeline has really grown significantly.
So, when you say we'll see a better margins in second half, so we are, I'm assuming that it will be in all the three segments, right? Around 20%.
That is correct.
Correct. Okay. And so my second question is on your comment on we have seen the slowdown in decision-making. So this is related only to the U.S. market or the Indian as well as the other market as well?
U.S. and Europe, largely U.S. and Europe.
Okay. So are we seeing any kind of improvement here now, or is it like?
It's still soft. The jury's still out. What does give me the confidence is that because the pipeline is so strong, I'm sure some will materialize for sure. But yes, it is slow.
And this slowdown is seen in mainly in top 20 clients, right?
No, it's the industry. And therefore, across the board, we see slow decision-making, both for new logos and even ramp-up of projects.
Okay. Understood. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Harshal Sethia from AUM Fund Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Just a question, actually a clarification from the last question. The EBITDA margins for the second half, you're expecting that to be about 20%? Is
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Sir, your audio is sounding very soft. Can you speak a bit louder?
Just a clarification from the earlier question. For the second half, do we expect EBITDA margins across the company to be in the region of 20%? Is
no,
that
no,
what
no,
was said?
No. That was the previous speaker mentioned. So that's not correct. They will be healthier, but certainly not 20%, no.
Okay. The second thing was just a question, again, to go back to the client, which, as you said, slowed down on one aspect of the business. So if you just, kind of negate that, assuming that the ramp-up for the client had not changed, then what kind of numbers, we're just trying to estimate, what the one-time impact is. So whatever have been our numbers for the quarter, would we have seen some growth, or how would it have, looked at?
That's
anticipated rates.
That's a tough one. You're asking the same question that the previous, one of the earlier people had asked. In terms of what is the revenue loss, but I don't think we are going to talk about that. But yes, it would have certainly been better than what it is. We are also not happy with the current situation.
Okay, but would it have been kind of more in the region of, growing on the same basis, or was that even without the, specific client issue, there was a slowdown across other in the client?
So you see a slight slowdown, if you see across all the segments. So that's really kind of, it's not that one project that has impacted everything. If you look at our investor deck, every segment has a marginal slowdown. The maximum you see that is in digital experiences, but the others also have had very marginal slowdowns.
And as you said, you know, clearly a month after the end of the quarter, for the next 6 months, do you see any such significant slowdowns, any conversations, maybe not for your business, but for your competitors or other people, you know, on the same lines?
No, I can't comment on the competitors because I really don't know what's going on in their business, but we don't see any such issue coming up in the next 6 months.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Samaksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, you mentioned about this increased marketing spend. Would it be possible to quantify them?
I don't have the numbers in my fingertips right now, but we've approximately doubled. Sandeep Mantri is sitting in front of me.
Almost doubled from last year. Yeah.
Right. In, so in terms of the hiring plan, any numbers?
Nothing right now, but I do know that we are ramping up for some projects, so you will see an increase in hiring anyway. But I don't have numbers with me because we are being cautious given that decision making is a little slow. Even though some customers have said that they would like to start ramping up, till it doesn't happen, we're not onboarding people. So we are in the ramp up phase, but I don't have a number for you on that.
And between the three segments, would it be fair to say that, if we were to see softness, it would be more in the digital experiences space going ahead?
Can you repeat your question, please?
Yeah, just in terms of your three segments, would it be fair to say that, you know, the digital experiences side would continue to remain soft?
No. In fact, we are ramping up there as well.
Right.
No, I don't see a softness there.
Okay. I just thought that's more discretionary, and so from that angle.
Yeah, but given that we are in the ramp up phase, I don't see the softness.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Aditya Jawar from AJ Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. Sir, I wanted to understand on the platform you have mentioned, right? Samfinata, on the digital side. So currently, we have a good revenue there, but our margins are roughly 7%. In next, suppose, 1 or 2 years, where do you see that margins trending towards?
Yeah, you're talking about
Finato, right? Finato. You're talking about Finato.
Yeah.
Finato is part of digital operations.
Okay, I'm talking about digital tech. There, yes. I think we have invested on auto fare, right? It comes into that part of it, right?
Fair collection.
That is fair collection, true fare.
Yeah. So there, I suppose if we get more sales, because we are doing 160 outputs for a quarter, right? 150 to 160.
That is not only fare collection, but there are many other things in
many other products. Many other products, yeah. But we have clubbed under digital tech.
Correct.
So currently there, the margins are like 5 to 7%, right? But our...
Correct.
In 1 or 2 years, where can we see that margins trending towards?
Of course,
yeah. So this 6 months, over the next 6 months of this financial year, we should see that margin improve. We talked about 7 to 8% in this year.
2 years. You're talking about 1 or 2 years, right?
1 or 2 years. 1 or 2 years, not this year. This year.
Yeah, so that should improve. Over the next 2 years, that would improve quite a bit.
What targets we have in mind, like 14-15% we have?
So one of the reasons why that will change is that we are focusing more on the US market, and the US market has better margins than the Indian market. So as the business grows there, I think if you're looking at 2 years, we should be in the low teens, the 12-14 range.
Minimum.
Okay, low teens, right. Okay, the next question for this year, I guess what I can gauge is there is a slowness, but what are the positive sides for this year for the company?
The positive sides are that our pipeline has grown substantially. As I said, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, we've grown 100%,
When do you say pipeline, it is the order book or it is just in the finalizing stage?
It is the final stage where we submitted a proposal and the customers have to decide. But when you submitted proposals which are almost 100% more than what you did last year, that shows that you will probably close more deals this year. The other element that is very positive is the whole push towards AI first. AI first strategy, I think, will start showing some results. Our hyperscaler has already started showing some results, so that's looking very good. And AI and the Finato launch of the Finato product also, I'm very confident that will give us some results. We also have, I don't know if you've tracked it, but in the technology business, we've brought in senior leadership, and we are doing some organization restructuring, and that will help. I'm sure it will show results fairly soon.
Okay. So, based on your order pipeline, since it is robust, right, how much percentage you have the hit ratio here?
So it varies. It varies by segment. It varies by existing customers and new logos by geography. So, but it's very healthy. So that's not. It's not a straight answer. But it varies anywhere from 30-40% to as high as 80%, depending on, you know.
Since we have traveled to, like you have said, that you have personally traveled to USA or some other countries for marketing events, right? In which space do you find as our product suit, right? We have a lot of things to offer. In which space they are mostly interested in, the customers?
So so when you, we participate across multiple lines of businesses, across technology, operations, and experiences. And across all the three, we've seen opportunities. Technologies right now with AI, there is a lot of inquisitiveness among enterprises to see how they can use AI for better productivity and for better customer experience. So AI right now, there's a lot of interest in AI and what AI can do for the overall business.
However, I must say that right now the interest in AI is a lot of curiosity.
Yeah.
So because people are still trying to figure out what this new animal is and they don't know much about it. So there's a very high degree of curiosity and therefore the interest. So one has to take that with a pinch of salt in terms of deal closures.
Okay. Then with the pipeline, it is majorly which segment we have gotten the traction there?
The highest traction is in the digital technology space, but it's quite good also in the operations.
Digital technologies and digital operations, both are fairly good.
Oh, okay. Okay, sir. All the best. Thanks for answering my question.
Thank you.
The next question is in the line of Sanjot, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is a follow-up question. Generally you announce a number of deals won in the quarter in the PR. I don't know, I missed that. So how many deals won in this quarter and was there any multi-million dollar to win in the quarter?
Yeah, so we announced a number of new logos and this quarter we had 15 new logos. So that run rate remains roughly steady.
And most of them are in the US and the European markets. So which is also a very healthy sign.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you all for being on the call today. I know we've not had the best quarter, but I am still very hopeful that, you know, going forward, we will have a good run this year because, you know, the business is there and we've got a very good customer equation. So thank you very much for being on the call and I look forward to speaking to you next quarter. Wishing you all a very happy Diwali in advance and hope you have a good festive season. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Datamatics Global Services Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.